This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, sometimes you've read this guest, and sometimes his words have not always gone over very well with a lot of Cleveland sports fans. But every time we talk, I just like him more and more. I just like the guy. He's a good dude all the way around and certainly knows Boston sports. The Cavs are at Boston today. Maybe you don't care because they're a 9-win team, but Kyrie does play for the Boston Celtics, and he only voted for Mariano Rivera in his Hall of Fame ballot. So let's welcome in Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dan Shaughnessy, thanks for joining us this morning.
I voted for Jim Thome last year, if it makes you feel any better.
It was only Jim Thome last year?
No. I think all the ones that got in, I think. I can't remember. But I know I voted for Chipper and Thome.
Very nice. Now, what was the reasoning behind only Mariano Rivera?
Well, I mean, I'm still banning the steroid guys or the guys with inferences of that. So it does matter to me, and I apply that. So no Bonds, no Clemens, no Manny Ramirez, no Sosa. You know, guys that would be obvious if not for the taint of the PED thing. So that's harder and harder to hold on to, and fewer people do, and I understand that. But, yeah, I noticed Clemens and Bonds didn't really spike much, so it looks like people are kind of digging in on their positions on that, because obviously those guys are Hall of Fame, you know, talents and numbers and all that. And then the rest of it, you know, the arguments over guys, I just, after the Veterans Committee strong-armed Harold Baines into the Hall of Fame, I'm like, you know what? This is really getting ridiculous. I mean, if I have to argue about guys or there's borderline guys, I'm just not getting into it this year. There's no one else in the ballot that I've ever voted for before. So I just said, yeah, I'm not going to open up. I knew Edgar was getting in, and I'm glad he did. Messina was one where, you know, how you voted could have made a difference because I think he had to get in by like 7 votes. Halliday was too shy on wins for me. And Messina, he's always been a bubble guy. 270 wins in the American League East is nothing to sneeze at, you know. So I'm glad for all the guys that got in. And, if you don't vote, you know, a lot of people did not vote for Messina, Edgar, and Halliday. I mean, like hundreds of people. So it's not like, you know, I'm just rare in that I only voted for one guy. Because to me, this year of all years was like, if this guy's a Hall of Famer, I'm going to know it when I see it. I'm just going to vote for him. And that's it. Nobody else.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy joining us on the hotline. I know you take this responsibility very seriously, a little more seriously than some other writers have who have maybe sold their votes over the years to do a publicity stunt. Like, I get that. People are trying to have some fun at baseball's expense because of some of the reasons that it's obvious to make fun of baseball's expense. With all of that said, you know, I've been to Cooperstown. I've covered the Hall of Fame. I've covered the speeches. A great event, great town, great community, all that great stuff. I also have made the point that I feel like many times, and maybe it has more to do with how old you are and what generation you're in, seems to me the Hall of Fame is just a bunch of people who were not caught using steroids. Some might have did it, some might have been clean, some might have just been not caught. I'm a little younger, so I'm okay with these guys getting in. So what would you do with David Ortiz, somebody who you obviously covered very closely?
I'm not voting for him.
You know, and you know that's going to ruffle feathers locally with you.
I'm used to that. That's okay. What I've seen the trend is, you know, people take the ballot now and say, who are the best 10 guys on here? That's not the charge that we're assigned here. It's not to pick the best 10 guys and wish you could vote for 20. It's to decide who you think the Hall of Famers are. And I've never seen a ballot with 10 Hall of Famers on it. And I'm stunned at the number of voters that feel obligated and that's the mission. Is to vote for your favorite 10 every year. That's not what we're asked to do. We're asked to just, you know, who do you think is a Hall of Famer, and don't vote for anyone who you don't think is.
Dan Shaughnessy, join us on the hotline. We were talking about other guys who I know you got a chance to watch, but Omar Vizquel. Omar Vizquel got a spike in votes. It looks like he's trending towards someone who could be a Hall of Famer, but only 3 All-Star games, played a long time. What are your thoughts on him overall?
Love him. I mean, you know, one of the best offensive shortstops I've ever seen. You know, and Ozzie got in based on just his glove, and you know, I think Omar's offensive numbers are better But, you know, Ozzie was sort of the brand and the whole thing, and he was a multiple All-Star and all that stuff. But, I mean, Omar, it's a very fair case, and nothing to sneeze at. And, again, not voting for someone for the Hall of Fame and not being in the Hall of Fame, there's no disgrace in that. I mean, there's a lot of great players, and they're lining up now that Baines has been forced in. I mean, go look at, you know, Dick Allen or Dale Murphy or Dwight Evans or Tony Oliva. There's a million guys better than Harold Baines that are not in the Hall of Fame.
Dan Shaughnessy joining us on the show. For Kyrie, what's it been like this year for Kyrie? Because the last 3 weeks have been fantastic. You go back to the end of last year, he wasn't on the bench for Game 7, and I know there was some legitimacy thrown out there, whatever. What are your feelings on Kyrie, just observing him with the organization as of January 23rd?
Yeah, I just like watching him play. I don't pay too much attention to anything he says. I get over that pretty early on with the flat earth thing and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, it's some of the local radio guys refer to this as the Real Housewives of the NBA, and just all this diva stuff and people talking about themselves, and, you know, just it's like a bunch of NFL wide receivers. It's like this coffee clatch of gossipers and talent, and who's better and who's going to join who and all this stuff. So anyway, I love his talent. I love watching him and just moments. And, you know, he won the championship for you guys with that shot. Nobody ever forgets that. And we see that, you know, when you have him on your team, you see that every other week or something like that. I mean, he is just a great player. Really enjoy watching him.
Well, he said that he intends to stay long-term. He said that back in the summer. Yeah. Now, you said that you don't really pay attention. Do you think he'll stay long-term in Boston?
I hope so, but I don't put too much stock in anything, he says. It's just, and, you know, there was some misbehavior. You know, I mean, there's always going to be stuff, but that wasn't good when they were in Orlando and, you know, he was in Stevens' face and Hayward's face and, you know, showing up Tatum and just, you know, that they didn't make the right play at the end of the game. I thought that was very public. Coincidentally, he didn't play the next game. They said it was a hammy or something like that. But it looked like it was a one game, you know, take a night off Curry. That's what it looked like to me.
Wow, Dan Shaughnessy joining us on the show. So we talk about his future, but where is he? And I don't know if this really matters to him because he was really well-liked in Cleveland. He was probably number two in Cleveland at the time of him wanting to leave as far as overall popularity. Where do you think he ranks among the four major teams in Boston? Where do you think he ranks in terms of athletes?
Well, I mean, you know, he just hasn't been here very long and didn't get to play in the playoffs last year. So, you know, obviously right now there's Tom Brady and everybody else. But, you know, we've got, you know, Patrice Bergeron with the Bruins, been here forever, you know, really regarded very highly. But in terms of talent, I mean, you know, I'd say he's in the Mookie Betts category. He's not yet won a championship in Boston, and he hasn't played here as long as Betts. You know, hasn't been an MVP for the town's team the way Betts has. But I would put him, you know, surely, I mean, in terms of talent, he is to his sport almost what Betts is to his.
Can NBA fans in this day and age ever truly get that close with their NBA players, knowing that we see so much movement with these players in free agency or even forcing trades?
No, I really don't think so. I mean, it's just, you know, and I covered the Celtics when Bird was here, and I remember, you know, growing up with Cousy and Russell and all that. So, yeah, it's not like that anymore, and I understand that. It's evolution. That's the way things evolve, and that's the way it is. But and we don't get to know them the way we did. That's really changed. I mean, when I cover the Celtics, we travel with them, we live with them, so we could really tell you what they were like. I don't know what Kyrie's like. I didn't know what Garnett was like. I mean, they're really isolated now. They got their own planes, their own everything, and the money's so high. And this whole notion of you know, putting together super teams and playing with each other and feelings and all that stuff. They just have a lot more mobility to do that than they used to, and it's not the best thing for the bond between, you know, fans and their players.
How much longer is Tom Brady going to play?
Oh my God. I mean, you guys, you know, you're a football area there. What do you tell me? I mean, they've changed the rules. They've made it where, you know, you can play quarterback in your living room. You know, no one touches you. And they got the spread offenses, and he's throwing five-yard passes. But, you know, what he did Sunday, that was different. I mean, he completed three third and tens on that overtime drive. That's hard to do on the road. Are you kidding me? And those were, you know, downfield lasers. So, yeah, it's impressive. I mean, I'm out of the business of questioning anything they do at this point. It's just like there'll never be anything like this again. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. The man's going to be 42 next year, but take a look at what you saw, in that showdown with Mahomes, who's 24 years old, and he was every bit of that guy and more.
I get excited. I start to dream because the Browns finally have something at quarterback, yeah. It seems. I dream that he'll be finally the guy to go into Gillette and do it in the postseason.
The man who shot Liberty Valance. That'd be good.
So what do you think of Baker Mayfield? Because sometimes he gets into with some of the local media, the national media. What do you think of him?
Everybody loves him. You know, how do you not love that? It's like, hey, a little bit of edge is okay with me. I mean, they're not there to kiss our butt. I understand that. And this guy's got that edge, you know, and, you know, and serves him well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see how anybody – you got to love that whole thing. I'm really – everybody's anxious to see more.
Do you believe Tom Brady is – does he win games because he's Tom Brady and it does affect the other team?
Yeah, and, I mean, the coaching here is – the disparity of coaching is greater than the disparity of talent and the disparity of Brady and all of the quarterbacks. The coach versus all of the coaches, and I know he was in your town. I know it wasn't great. I've never seen anything like this. Take a look at the first halves of those games with the Chargers and the Chiefs, just how much better prepared they were. And that's why I never doubt them. And, you know, we still got the Butler thing and, you know, why is Gronk on the field at the end of the Miami game and all that stuff. Things happen, but their game planning, he's the best there's ever been. I can't believe there's anything close.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy with us here. Did the Browns miss out on Josh McDaniels?
You know what? I don't blame you. Not what he did. He screwed the Colts, and you know, I think there's some relationship there, and that was a bad optic. So I'm going to say no. He failed.
Yeah, but did they miss out on him as a good coach? Forget about optics. We know Belichick did the exact same thing McDaniels did.
He failed in Denver. There's no indication that any of this translates. It is not. I mean,
so you would have made the case against hiring Bill Belichick, essentially.
I don't understand.
Well, Belichick left the team at the altar, highly publicized, and also did not succeed in Cleveland.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, if you roll it back 18, 19 years, yeah, I wasn't like, they have to do this. Absolutely not. No.
But in all honesty, we have fun all the time about Josh McDaniels. He's somebody
you
from Northeast Ohio.
You might need to explain to him your feelings.
Yeah, he's from Northeast Ohio. I think he's one of the great offensive minds in football, but a lot of people have problems, you know, being able to disassociate Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Josh McDaniels. What is he treated like there? What do people think of him as an offensive coordinator?
Oh, I think they think he's a mastermind, you know, and I think the media gets along well with him when they do have availability, and he has a good relationship with them. I think it's pretty joyous and chummy. I mean, you tell me, why didn't he take that job, and why didn't he get more, you know, conversations this year? I mean, I think he's clearly got a deal here to succeed Bill Belichick, and why would you leave that? So I don't know.
Would Patriots fans be happy if Belichick moves on, let's just say after this year, even though nobody really believes that's happening, would they be okay with not even really conducting a search and then hiring Josh McDaniels?
Yes. I believe
really?
That. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I find the Josh McDaniels thing interesting because, like so many coordinators with New England, it's tough to separate what does Belichick do, what do these other coaches do. Now there's a lot of talk about Patricia, about Vrabel, about, what is it, Flores, or however you pronounce his name. The list goes on about all these assistants. Is there any
reason? You can go back, you know, Mangini, Weiss, Cornell, you know, you can go back.
Do you think there's any reason why so many of those guys have failed?
I think that it's more Bill and Ernie than it is any of them.
God, I think that's probably the best point you could possibly make there, Dan. Dan Shaughnessy joining us on the show. Yeah, I'm sorry. I trolled Anthony through you, Dan.
He knows I like McDaniels a lot.
Yes, he is a huge Josh McDaniels fan. If I, don't
I
want,
mean, Belichick didn't bring in a staff of three assistants and then leave him there with the Jet thing. I mean, there's no – those things don't equate. I mean, I know what you're talking about with the Jets, but that was bad.
Final one for me. Does Baker Mayfield got the stuff to be the guy to stop Tom Brady finally?
I hope so. That's a good one. Let's run with that for the next year or two, see how it goes.
I love it. Thank you very much, Dan. We appreciate your time. All the very best.
Take care, fellas.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, joining us on the show.
Mastermind.
Fabulous. You're going to have to text him, Owen. I think he dropped.
He called McDaniels a mastermind.
I didn't mean to troll you through
that
him.
That was fun. Are you kidding me? Well, I was going to ask the McDaniels question, but you beat me to it.
He's getting worked up. And I think the way he answered the question is like, this guy really likes Josh McDaniels that much? I'm like, yeah, he does.
But then he called him a mastermind and said that there would be no problem if the Patriots just hired him in succession right after Bill Belichick. No search.
Yeah, that's...
I think that's interesting. I think fans would not be happy in New England if they didn't at least conduct a search.
But if it's just... Now, I don't know if that's true. Now, I'll make this quick.
Well, they would conduct a search. Publicly, they would conduct a search because they've got
to fulfill... You have to satisfy the Rooney Rule, and you have to sit in on that. However, if it's just an assumed thing, when has Bill Belichick led them astray? When has Robert Kraft in the recent memory led them astray? What was yesterday, 25 years since Bob Kraft bought the team?
Trust. There's just a trust.
I think that there is a trust. Now, again, I think you're only as – you got to have good tools to be a good mechanic if you're a head coach in the NFL, and Tom Brady ain't going to be around forever. I know he thinks he's going to be around forever, and Alex Guerrero probably tells him he's going to be around forever, but I don't think that's the case. And just good luck finding another legend to fall off a tree and to play for you for 20 years. We are in uncharted territory. And I got brought up to me on Saturday, and this is why my Baker theory runs a little bit. And boy, I've been saying some reckless things at times, but here we go. I think some people called up on Saturday. If he wins, which he did, and he wins the Super Bowl, he'll ride off into the sunset. I go, this is a guy who does truly believe, no matter what we want to say, and I see it his way, that he's an underdog. He wins that automatically legitimizes his thought. I think that he continues to play. The only thing that'll stop Tom Brady is if another team, another player, he just can't get over. Like, it's a sword to the throat type moment. I am putting you out of your misery. Like, that's what I think ends Tom Brady's career. It is not going to end well. It has to end ugly for a competitor like that.
That's why the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff was so vexing to a lot of people and was so threatening to him. We talk about, and we didn't get into it today, about Carson Wentz, and some people were like, oh, is he a little myth that Nick Foles is getting all this love? Look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady, who's accomplished all he's accomplished, there were stories that he was a little threatened by Jimmy Garoppolo. And that people within that organization were worried about how that was playing out.
20 minutes away from now, I'm excited for the Browns, but I want no part in kickoff Thursday. But, you know, we had Zach Meisel on just less than an hour ago, and he was, you could hear it in his voice, less than thrilled with the Indians offseason. There are people who are still upset about it. We'll get to them next. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyman live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.